Good morning, Wake Up HCC. It is Tuesday.
21st.
May the 21st.
Yeah.
This month is coming to an end. It's crazy.
Pretty quickly, yeah.
It's crazy. What, 10 more days and that's it? And this is Chris Oviedo with...
Brendan Byrne.
Yes, we're coming to you live from the basement in McEwen Hall on this... I don't know. It felt a little chilly to me this morning.
I find it just a little brisk. Just a little brisk.
Yeah. It was nice. It was unexpected, though. It was unexpected. After the heat from yesterday, I just thought, how? How did this happen when we were at the 80s? Today, we're like supposed to be in the high 70s again. So I'm like, temperature is just really on a roller coaster.
Welcome to Maryland.
And that can't be good for gardening, I would imagine. And, you know, that's what we're going to talk today about with our guest here is Andrea Barnhart. She's from HCC, and she's the gardening manager right here at Howard Community College. Good morning to you.
Yes, thank you.
Welcome. We're excited to have you and to talk about this new initiative that the college has, which I think it's fantastic, and it's almost like, why didn't we do this sooner, right? And so I was reading about this, and it has a very specific purpose, you know, for the garden that HCC has just started. But before we go into that and we talk about everything that HCC is doing in this new program and how it's going to help many students here at our campus, I want to get to know you, Andrea. I'd like to get to know, you know, about yourself and what is it that draws you to gardening,
sure.
And how is it that you got involved with this project here at HCC? So if you can just give us a little bit of background information first.
Sure. Well, I grew up on a dairy farm in Southern Virginia, and I've always just liked being outside and working with the soil and getting my hands dirty.
Mm-hmm.
And so I kind of 10-15 years ago, I started volunteering at a farm and kind of like as an exchange to see if I liked growing my own vegetables.
How cool.
And
okay.
I did. And then I actually got a seasonal job at a local nonprofit farm. And they actually work with individuals with developmental disabilities and grow vegetables.
Oh, that is so cool. That takes it just another level.
Right. And so I was there for 9 years and kind of became the farm manager there and was farm manager there for about 6 years. And it was a 5-acre farm, organic. And so after that, I've kind of been doing some more kind of like consulting.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of gardens at different nonprofits, churches in the area, and a little bit less stressful than managing a 5-acre farm.
So maybe just a little bit.
Right. So when I live in Burtonsville, and so when I saw this job opening up, I thought, oh, this is perfect. It's, you know, a close drive to my house, and so far it's been great. Yeah,
that's great. So, that sounds wonderful. You know, it's funny. You mentioned you like to get your hands dirty. I just recently saw that there's a campaign of this. It's like a getaway, but like, you know, nature getaway where they have like the perfect manicure, and it's like a person, like a girl's hand, which is covered in dirt.
Uh-huh.
And I thought that was so cool. It's just a completely different take. It's like, you know, girl's night out, and it's just camping. It's a bunch of girls camping and, you know, the stars and all that. So, which is not something that you think of,
mm-hmm.
you know, I mean, there's this stereotype, obviously, right, that we're trying to break related to women. So I think this campaign is really powerful in the sense that, like you said, there are a lot of us out there who, yes, we will go and get our manicures done, but we can also get our hands dirty when we need to, right? So I think that's great. So let's dive right into this new initiative that Howard Community College has with this garden. Can you tell us the idea behind the garden of Howard Community College?
Sure. The idea was to kind of create a space where people could come together, faculty, students, and staff, and kind of work together, grow together, learn how to grow vegetables.
Mm-hmm.
So, and then while doing that, then be able to provide vegetables to the food pantry here on campus.
Mm-hmm.
Since this is brand new, we don't I mean, we're hoping that we'll have, you know, a lot of vegetables. And so if we have a surplus of vegetables, then we hope to actually donate the rest to the Howard Food Bank. And also,
that's fantastic.
Yeah. And also work with the culinary program and the students there.
Oh, that's great.
So we've been talking to Chef Milbourne and, you know, kind of like the herbs and vegetables that they might want in their program as well.
So, you know, you mentioned the pantry that we have here at Howard Community College. Can you tell us a little bit more about that, what the pantry is about and you know, who can access it and all that kind of thing?
Sure.
Which I know you're new to the college, but right. I'm sure you're familiar with
it. I think you pretty much have to be a student here. I don't think there's many questions asked. Mm-hmm. And it's part of the student service program. And I actually don't know too many of the specifics,
right,
other than just that they have open times, I think 3 times a week, where anyone who wants to, as long as you're a student, can go in and get fresh vegetables and other goods.
Right. Yeah. So if you're a student here at ATC and, you know, you need help, you need assistance, there is the food pantry. I mean, ATC, and that's one thing that I really love about ATC, that ATC recognizes that there is a good number of students, a good percentage of students who need a little bit extra help, right? Because we have this idea that Howard County in general is just this affluent county where everybody can just afford, right, you know, to take care of their basic needs, education, food, this and that and the other,
right,
but the reality,
than we,
right,
think it is. Like 50% of the students here are on tuition assistance,
right?
According,
exactly,
to the college president.
Exactly. So there's you know, half of the students, and I think the percentage has actually gone a little higher. But you know, it's the students graduating in 2018. 50%, like Brendan just said, they were in some kind of financial, you know, receiving some type of financial aid. So it's kind of like bringing awareness. And I think that the college taking this garden is, it's taking it an extra step, because it's like, we recognize there's need, but we can take action and we can take, you know, we can like go right at the front line and start planting, you know, vegetables and fruits and, you know, things like that to help supply the pantry, to help, like you said, right. I didn't even realize you guys were talking to the culinary department. I think, right, that's fantastic.
Yeah,
we have
that's
fresh,
a great idea. Fresh, yeah, ingredients is going to make, yeah, that way, way more interesting.
Absolutely. And then, you know, whatever is left, the surplus, like you were saying, can even go into the community. So from your experience, because I see that you had an interview and here you say that for you, it's important for people to understand where their food is coming from.
Right.
So let's talk about that, because I know that, especially I think in like the younger generations, Brendan's type generation, they think that the food really comes from the supermarket. You know, I think that there is.
Okay, I'm not that.
I know, and I'm not saying specifically.
There's not
Brendan.
A farm at the supermarket.
But there is.
Grew up out of the floor.
I mean, there are kids. There are kids that you talk,
right,
to, and they really have no idea where they come from, right? So why do you think that it's important? I mean, what's the importance of kids and everybody, right, really, to understand where food comes from?
Right. Well, I think it's several different reasons. One is I think it actually helps students and kids and anyone really, they taste better fresh.
Right.
Yeah.
And so when you,
absolutely,
go into the garden and you can like taste a sprig of cilantro or take a carrot right out of the ground and you eat it and you're like, oh wow,
right,
this is super crunchy, wow, I can really taste this, you,
oh,
know,
yeah,
it has taste, and,
right,
it's just, so I think one is just recognizing like it, they taste great, and so I think it helps people get more excited about eating vegetables.
Mm-hmm.
And then also I think it's good to appreciate the amount of work and what it takes,
yes,
to grow vegetables, and it's hard work. And in the past, when I've had students out to the garden and you know, they'll say, well, I don't really need to know this, you know, I'm going to be a doctor or, you know, something like that. And, you know, well, and then they're like, oh, this is hard work.
Right.
Like, it takes a lot of work to grow vegetables. So I think,
yeah,
it's just an appreciation of the,
right,
labor that goes in. And even, you know, the vegetables that you're getting from the supermarket are coming from someone's labor.
Right.
And,
yes,
so just recognizing the amount of labor and effort. And then also, I mean, probably the third component would be just the sustainability, mm-hmm. and how can you grow vegetables so it's sustainable and it's not taking away from the environment and it's actually contributing. And so, you know, all those multiple facets of learning how to grow vegetables, I think, is mm-hmm. important.
Absolutely. So is there a plan already in place of which fruits and vegetables are going to be planted, or is that going to be based on demand? How are you guys coming up with that?
That's a great question, because it's obviously we can kind of choose whatever.
Right.
And so since this is the first year, we kind of started with the things that I know that are pretty easy to grow in this climate. And it's a variety. So we'll grow mm-hmm. This spring. We've already planted like some kale, radishes, turnips, lettuce, spring onions, cilantro and dill. So a wide variety. And then in the summer, we're hoping to grow some tomatoes, summer squash, cucumbers, sweet potatoes. And then in the fall, we'll go back to kind of the spring stuff.
Okay.
But how we're going to decide is kind of based on the need once we get it going. And we hope to grow a diverse amount of vegetables for the diversity of the student population here, mm-hmm. As well as what will work with the culinary program. And I know they have specific herbs that they like to use. And then I lost my train of thought.
So you were talking about the stuff that you guys are planting that have already planted, the things that you guys have already kind of decided to plant for this first go about, but you're waiting on input from different people to continue.
Right. And then I guess the other thing that goes into making a decision of what to grow vegetables is the seasonality and the complexity of being a college campus, and most of the students aren't here during the summer. I mean, there's some students. So what we're doing is we're kind of loading up the vegetables. Like, we're going to be planting a lot of stuff in the summer so that back when students come back in August and the fall, we'll have like a full garden. So it's kind of the opposite of what you might have in a traditional garden, like where you would have like your tomatoes and squash like peaking in June and July. Mm-hmm. We're going to try and plan so that they're peaking more in the end of August when there's more students here.
Okay. And is this going to be a class that students can sign up for, or is this kind of like a volunteer interest type thing where it's like a club? How is this going to be happening?
It's mainly going to be, we're going to set up some volunteer times, especially when we're harvesting and getting more into regular work days.
Okay.
So right now, the current volunteers have come through the service learning program. Mm-hmm. And so certain classes through the service learning program. And then also the Rouse Scholar Program had some volunteers come. And so all the students kind of contacted me to schedule their volunteer time. And so that's kind of the best way to reach out is my email and the Instagram page that we have.
And if we could just let everybody know what your email is.
Yeah. Sure. It's abarnhart@howardcc.edu. So that's ABARNHART.
At howardcc.edu. And let's talk about the location, because Howard Community College has a beautiful campus, right? But I would think that the garden is not going to be right in the middle of the quad, or, you know, I mean, I would think that it's going to have a...
Play Ultimate Frisbee out there.
Yeah. Right, get the Frisbee off the tomatoes, right?
Yeah.
So where is the garden going to be located, or is it going to be like, you know...
Yeah. The garden is there, so anyone can come see it. It's out near the athletic fields.
Okay.
It's near Field 3. So if you go out to the athletic fields, and if there's a loop that I think people tend to walk around and it goes past the lacrosse fields, you'll see it right there. There's kind of like we have 7 beds and there's a big deer fence up. And so you can come by and check it out anytime. So it's right there near the athletic fields.
Okay. Now, I also noticed that around campus, there's this big like flower pots almost. Are you guys doing anything with that, or is that a separate program? Is that different?
Yeah, I don't know anything about the flower pots.
Okay. I was just wondering if it has any connection to the garden, if it was going to be, you know, I don't know, maybe we're to showcase little things or something like that. But that's cool. That we need to do more digging with that. See what I did there?
Yeah. I see. I heard it and I felt it too, in my bones.
All right. So what has been your experience with working with the students? Because I know that in Howard County, there's a lot of people who are very, very interested in gardening, who are very interested in, you know, for various reasons, who are hardcore, I guess, you know, gardeners and want to get this information out. But like we were saying at the beginning of our conversation, it's kind of like a distant thought for the younger generations, right? It's kind of like far away from. I mean, they're connected to their iPads, they're connected, they stay inside, and that's kind of like the divide that we're seeing. So with them being exposed to gardening and planting and growing their own vegetables here at HEC, what has been your experience? What has been, you know, the kind of... I don't know, the feedback that you've received from the students themselves.
Right. The feedback has been very positive. I've been, I guess, slightly surprised, but also very impressed with the response. The first volunteer that was out, she came, I think, like at 8 in the morning on a Thursday and was meeting me before one of her classes because she needed to get her service hours in. And we were doing pretty hard work because we had piles of, like, dump truck loads of just compost that we were taking and shoveling and wheelbarrowing and then creating the beds of the garden. So we were shoveling, you know, wheelbarrows and wheelbarrows and then dumping them. And so, I mean, it's a good workout, you know, like you don't need to go to the gym that day, that's for sure. So anyway, we were in the middle of this and she'd been doing it for about an hour and she's like, oh, wow, this is just so relaxing. She's like, I need to be able to do this, you know, regularly, you know, and I'm like, that's perfect. Like, that's the reason why the garden's here, is to kind of provide that therapeutic space of like enjoying nature and, you know, getting away from the busyness and just something as kind of rote as like shoveling and satisfying is like you see what you're doing. It's it's great.
That's great. And because you don't think about relaxing when you think about gardening, at least I don't.
Yeah, it's very relaxing. Yeah.
That's great. That's great. Now, is this for HCC students only, or like if they're community members or maybe high school students? Because I know you mentioned service hours, and high school students are always looking for opportunities to get service hours. And I know community members, maybe they're not looking for service hours, but I know that they like to get involved. And like I said, there's a big community of gardeners here in Howard County who feel strongly and want to get more of this done.
Right. Yes, we are. We're kind of reaching out to other groups that would be interested in volunteering. So, yes, it's not exclusive to the students.
Okay.
Which reminds me, we're actually going to be having, as part of the campus, another group we're going to work with is the CORE program here on campus, who works with people with intellectual and developmental disabilities. And so they're going to be coming out to the garden as well this summer.
That's wonderful. Yeah. And are they? Is the plan to have them like do be part of all of it? I mean, what's the idea there?
Yeah, the plan would be that they would come and volunteer and help harvest and work in the garden just like any other volunteer.
That's great.
Yeah,
that's great.
So we have plenty of volunteer opportunities available to anyone of, you know, all ages and abilities.
And is the best way to find those opportunities just to email you, or is there like a website? Is there a page on the website?
Yes, we're kind of young enough that it's just, you know, sending me an email is good, but you can also follow our Instagram, which is Howard CC Garden.
Okay, so Howard CC Garden on Instagram for everybody out there who wants to get involved and wants to get more information, or just email Andrea, and it's abarnhart@howardcc.edu. What's your hope with this project? It's like you said, it's in its infancy, you know, right now. So where do you see it going in the next few years?
Yeah. I mean, my hope would be that we would be we'd have a consistent schedule and we'd set up, you know, consistent days for volunteers, so that then it would be very clear, you know, we have these days and have some events, you know, like, I don't know, one student already suggested, like, if you just had lemonade and music every Friday morning. So, you know, to start having regular events, maybe doing some plant giveaways during like the week before exams when students are doing the, what's it called? The relax week or
stress-free week. Yeah.
So getting more involved here on campus with existing events and opportunities so that students are more engaged. So that would be my hope. And then just having a consistent, schedule of vegetables and knowing that, you know, we're working with the food pantry and they know that they can be expecting a certain number of vegetables each week.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's great. That's great. If students who are listening and they have questions, you know, about gardening and things like that, is that the purpose of this as well? Like for you to really answer further questions, or is this just kind of like a hands-on learn as you go type of, you know, I just want to know, is this going to feel like a classroom at all? Or is this just, volunteer and make a good use of your time?
Well, I think that, I mean, I don't think it feels like a classroom at all, but I'm also open to anyone who's excited about gardening or sees this as a career, like sustainable farming. I know that there are students, you know, particularly in the environmental science program, mm-hmm. who might be interested in a career like this. And so I'm very excited to work with those students and kind of give them opportunities to learn, like setting up drip irrigation, things that they could actually, you know, learn hands-on and take back into a job, mm-hmm. that they would be interested in. So I'd say it's very hands-on, and anyone who has questions, I'm definitely, you know, would love to, you know, talk to them and engage with them on, you know, what they'd like to learn.
Perfect. And you mentioned spring, summer, and fall for plants to, you know, have harvest. In the winter, is this going to be closed? Are you guys planning to maybe come up with plans on how to continue the garden throughout the winter? I mean, what's the idea there?
Right. Well, to have a garden in the winter, we'd have to create like a hoop house, like have, mm-hmm. like more of a structure, like with plastic,
right?
Which we are talking about doing in the future.
Okay.
So currently, right now, as it exists, we won't be able to grow that much during the winter. We might have a few plants that overwinter, but it wouldn't be like a consistent schedule or a consistent harvest. To do that, we would need to have kind of like a hoop house with plastic cover, which we've kind of, the space we've put the garden on, it's nice and flat and could be an ideal space in the future for doing that.
Okay. Yeah. Now, you said you already planted some things, right?
Yes.
So when are we going to see this first?
Well, I was just out there yesterday checking it. And so, like, we have little lettuce plants and spring onions and radishes and turnips. And my guess is that we're about 2 or 3 weeks away from our first harvest.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. It's coming up very close. Yeah. Very, very close. So in your experience, you know, what has gardening done for you? I mean, since you said that you've always been out, mm-hmm. since you were little. How has that shaped or changed, you know, kind of like your views of the world and who you are today?
Oh, wow.
And it's kind of like we went deep in this question.
Yes.
Big gardening question.
Well, I think that it's probably changed me in a way that I appreciate locally grown food even more. Mm-hmm. I like to cook, and so I really can tell a difference when I have fresh vegetables that are recently been harvested,
right.
you know, from the local community farmers, whether you're getting it from farmers markets or you're growing it yourself. I think that it changed, you know, my appreciation for certain vegetables even, you know, like once, you know, I love beets and turnips and mustard greens, which, you know, before I started growing them myself, I would have never thought I liked. and I just think they taste different than like when you're getting them from a can or, you know, in the grocery store. So I guess that's probably the largest impact that I've had is just appreciating the taste. And also, I think, you know, just the importance of supporting like your local farmers in the local community and intentionally seeking them out.
Yeah.
And I wish that there were more opportunities here where local farmers, you could, you know, you have your farmers markets on the weekends, but if you're out of town and you miss it, I wish there was a way that farmers could sell their vegetables easier to the grocery stores, or you know, you could get them during the week. Is, you know, one of the things that I think about.
And you know, it's interesting because I'm originally from Ecuador, and when I first came to this country, I remember seeing people eating green peppers and celery, just grabbing it and eating it like that, and I was like, I can't even start to think how people can eat those vegetables like that, because I remember their taste being really strong in Ecuador, so to the point that I couldn't just put it in my mouth. Well, I realized, you know, once I decided to give it a try, that the taste is really, like you were saying, it's really just not as strong as it was back in Ecuador, because in Ecuador you're growing it and you're literally, just like you described, you know, taking it out of you know, wherever they were planted, washing it and putting it into your mouth. And you do feel a difference in the taste. The taste is a lot stronger. I went back to Ecuador this past December to be with family and friends, and food tastes different altogether. I mean, you really taste the apples. The apples taste very different. The tomatoes taste very different. I mean, everything just has a stronger taste than when it has been sitting at the supermarket, you know, after having been shipped, you know, and being in a container for a long period of time. The price is also very different, right?
Yeah.
I mean, it's, the amount of oranges that I could get there for a dollar would not even buy me one here States. You know, so it does. It gives you a different appreciation once you've experienced that, and once you've really come to see the hard work that goes into planting. And I really, it's something that I try to tell my kids as they grow up, because they are very much the kind of, if I want to eat something, I need to go to the supermarket, instead of having that thought process of it needs to be grown, it needs to be bought, and, you know, like harvested and nature, as we were saying when we first started our conversation, when you have a hot day and then you have a cold day. I mean, I'm sure that you guys feel that, and I'm sure that that affects the crops, right?
Right, it does. I think, you know, one of the things, you get used to working outdoors. You know, like you adjust to the temperature changes. I think you're more accustomed to them. But yeah, I mean, drastic changes of temperature is not a good thing for crops. Yeah.
And lots of rain, I know that many times will kill them. And, you know, people who live out of, you know, from this business, who depend on this to make a living. I mean, it just really gives you a little more compassion, a little more understanding when you have that appreciation of all the hard work that goes into it. And then you have these factors that you just can control.
That's right.
Like Mother Nature,
right,
you know?
That's right, yes. You have to be very flexible to be a farmer. You have to, yeah.
You probably develop a lot of patience,
that's
I would
right.
think, by
yes.
farming.
Yes.
So, Andrew, is there anything else you would like our listeners to know before we wrap our conversation up today?
I think, you know, one of the things that we haven't talked about is the sustainability of the garden, and I'll just mention that if we have a little time.
Of course.
And so one of the things that's kind of unique about this garden, or one of the important aspects, is that we are focused on growing sustainably. And so when we started the garden, we got loads of compost donated from the Howard County government, from their compost program. So people probably don't know that, like, you can get your lawn waste, it gets donated to the Howard County dump, and then that gets made into compost. So instead of rototilling and tilling up our garden, what we actually did was we put the compost on top. And so that's a way of being more sustainable, and we didn't kill the earthworms. And so as part of the sustainability initiative here on campus, I just wanted to mention that.
So wait, instead of digging the holes and doing all of that, you guys just kind of like plant it on top? Let's explain that, because that's a new concept for me.
Yeah,
that's different too.
So what we did, so if you envision, and we had, like, you know, just a grassy area.
Yeah.
And so instead of digging that up and creating and making it look like dirt, what we did was, on top of the grass, we dumped loads of compost, about 6 to 8 inches worth.
Okay.
And so it's like a row of, like, a 3-foot wide compost bed. And so then we directly planted into that 8-foot, 8 inches of compost. And so.
Oh, fantastic.
So instead of tilling it up and messing up the worms and the microorganisms in the grass, we put the layer on top of the grass.
On top of it.
So all the worms and the microorganisms are coming up We're killing the grass through the compost because right. it's creating a layer of mulch. Yeah. And then we're planting directly into that compost.
No, that's great. Yeah. That's great. It's the first time I hear about that type of planting. So, and that's a way to preserve then just that natural habit exactly. that you're coming into for growing vegetables. That's great. I like that. Yeah. I really like that. Yeah. So, and I know that HEC is definitely always keeping in mind, you know, I mean, very sustainable. Bob, our green dragon, I guess. We can call he's always looking for ways, and you know, the Green Fest happens here every year, and it's a great event, and you can see that the county in general is very supportive, understands the impact that sustainability really has for our community and for the world at large, so it's great that on our little garden here at HEC we're keeping that in mind. So everybody is you know, everybody who's listening or watching, it's welcome to take part of this. Contact Andrea at abarnhart@howardcc.edu. Follow the Instagram page. That's Howard CC Garden.
Yes, that's right.
You know, just get involved, get out there, get your hands dirty, right?
get a dirt manicure.
And and make a difference. Make a difference, because it really, this, I mean, like we were saying, sustainability, planting your own vegetables, your own fruits, is really going to give you a better appreciation of what it takes to put that plate of food on your table. So thanks for taking the time to come with us and talking to us, Andrea. And that's it for our show this morning. We're going to go back to some music. Stay tuned. We'll be back tomorrow. Have a good one.
Bye, guys.
Connect with us. We are Dragon Digital Radio.